Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. That thing catch me all the time. Yes, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, from the National Black Unity News. And I want to welcome you all to our podcast. We have a very small group of us this evening, but hopefully someone will be joining us. But we are live on Facebook. We are live on Blog Talk Radio. I want to welcome on both formats to our podcast tonight. And before we get started, I want to welcome a special couple of people that's on with us tonight. That's Ms. Cheryl T. Ricks, as well as Brother Satawi Jahi. And we'd like to open with some comments or some readings from Brother Satawi Jahi. So, Brother Satawi, you have it, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. Yes, what I always like to do every time we come on these airways is to do a reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success, written by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who also wrote the book Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. And you can find both of those books on Amazon, or you can look them up on Google and you can order them. Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice is a blueprint for getting our families out of poverty, to not pass on the inheritance of poverty onto our families. And it's a good roadmap and a blueprint in terms of that book. Well, the reading for the day goes like this. Growing pains. You got to make haste while it's still light of day, my godmother used to say. I don't want to rust out. I just want to work out. If you stand still long enough, people will throw dirt on you. That's written by, that quote is from Ben Lorraine, entertainer who also played in Roots. He played Chicken George, played a real good role in that movie. And the reading for the day goes like this. What is the key to your unlimited growth and personal development? Perhaps the volunteer will provide a clue. One day a farmer was walking through his pumpkin fields and happened to find a one-gallon glass jug. With nothing better to do, to find himself an experimental frame of mind, he poked a small pumpkin through the neck of the jug and left it. A year later, when the time came to harvest the pumpkins, the farmer again came across a glass jug. Oddly enough, the pumpkin had filled it completely and with no more room to grow had stopped growing. The farmer broke the glass and held the pumpkin that had assumed the exact same size of the jug. Experts point out that people are like themselves into jugs beyond which they cannot grow. The difference here is that someone else doesn't poke them into the jug. They do it to themselves. Each of us decides how much we are going to grow and what kind of world we are going to live in. We can only grow as large as the jug we're in, and we are the one who decides its size and scope. The person who finds his world closing in around him, who finds it dull, routine, and uninteresting, has outgrown his jug and should start looking for a larger one. Today I will break out of my jug and I will utilize my potential. And that's so important, you know, to make sure that we don't limit our growth and make sure that we put ourselves in environments where we continue to grow and continue to flourish. And that's our reading for the day. Back to you, David.
I appreciate that, Brother Satawi. That's powerful information. And I can relate to that scenario because, unfortunately, a lot of us have been told since the time we were children that we couldn't do this or we shouldn't do that. And especially in the Black community, there was many children who had great aspirations, but many of the adults, especially some of their mentors as well as teachers, told the child, you need to find something more attainable for who you are. For example, if somebody said they want to be a doctor or a lawyer, well, they were saying, you know, you might want to be a bricklayer or something like that because of the times of that area, you know, a lot of things was closed off to us. Even to this day, a lot of people telling children, you can't do this and you can't do that. But, you know, and it stunts your growth. And it stunts your potential. But again, Brother Satari, I thank you for the reading. I also want to welcome Mr. Walter Dempsey Murphy, who has joined us, and Dr. Barbara Wattis. Dr. Wattis, I need to talk to you a little later on. Someone called me about editing a book. But in any case, I want to welcome you all. I've been talking all day long, so my horse, my throat is kind of rough right now. And to, but in any case, I'm going to call on you all to help me out. Here we are in the midst of Black History Month. And I thank God for the reminders of some of the great contributions we have done yesterday, as well as what we're doing today. As I always say, we stand on great shoulders. And maybe, just maybe one day, our shoulders will be strong enough for others to stand on. And, but, you know, again, here we're in the midst of Black History Month, and we hear it all through media, you know, some of the contributions Blacks have made, but that's the story they want us to know. But our stories are so deep, so vast, and so wide that others can't tell. It's high time we start telling. And, you know, and I was thinking, you know, I had my brother Walter Murphy on here, and I often say that, you know, as far as I can remember, I don't know too much about my personal history. Now, I read some of the family trees, but I didn't really know who these people were or some of the things that they actually did. All they said, they were just a bunch of names saying that this person begat this person and goes down the line. And it's good to know our past and the contributions that we made yesterday, but what about today? What about our tomorrow? What we do today will be history tomorrow. And so with the National Black Unity News, you know, we've been throwing this thing out there for some time now that we need to tell our own stories, create our own history. Everybody has a past, everybody has a history, but everybody does not tell or leave evidence, you know, who you are or what you was about. And I, as I said in the past many times, that I knew my father. I lived with him for about 11 years. And I had a few, after that, I had a few conversations with him, but I really didn't know all the things about him. But I do know when, you know, what my mother and him told me, that, you know, he was a very educated man. He was like a Renaissance man. He could build things. He can grow things. He could sing. He had a lot of natural talents. And, but that's far, and then far as his father is concerned, I only seen it once or twice in my entire lifetime, so I hardly know anything about some of the things people said. And on my mother's side, it's pretty much, I knew my grandmother pretty well because, you know, she was with me pretty much majority of my life. But that's far as that goes, and a few uncles and a few aunts. But in the United States, as we all know, our story has been distorted, stolen, not even spoken of. And there's a great effort today to even stop talking about it. They don't want to teach it to our young people what happened yesterday. So again, that's bringing me up to today. Too much we can do about yesterday. But today, you know, we have some powerful people around that are doing some great and wonderful things. And that's why I do these type of podcasts, because we have to start telling our stories, sharing our narratives with one another, sharing our history with one another, so that what has been done in the past will not happen again. Because when our future great-great-grandchildren come aboard, they need to know where they come from. They need to know some of their ancestors, what they stood for, why they did this and why they do that. And that's why I document myself. That's why I do podcasting. That's why we do the National Black Unity News. Yes, it's a great marketing tool to promote your products, goods, or services, but it's also a tool that we could share our stories. And like I said, each and every one of us have a story to tell. But moving forward, I had my grandchildren here earlier today. I think one is about 11, other one probably 11 or 12, and other one probably about 9 or 10. And I asked them, what's going on in school? And they mentioned to me Black History Month. And I said, what did you learn? And in school, they still teaching them pretty much the same thing. Martin Luther King and Frederick Douglass. And I said, well, who else do you know? You know, that's probably, the scope of what they were saying. They was teaching them about Black History in month. And again, if we do not start telling our stories, even our past story, because like I say, we cannot rely on other systems to tell our story for us. And today, before I go any further, there's a brother I want to give some kudos to while he's here. That's Brother High Key. I don't know. Are you, Brother High Key, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Yes,
Yes, sir. How you doing? Are you still in New York or are you here?
No, I'm back. Can't stay in New York too long. It's a little costly there.
Okay. But look, brother, like I said, I like to tell our stories. That's what we were just talking about. Why were you in New York?
I just did like two nights there. So,
but you were there for a reason, though, right?
Right. Well, several things. But the initial plug, I was invited to receive a humanitarian award.
Yay!
Thank you.
Well deserved.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So this was Mr. Jimmy Holloway. He's an 80-year-old elder in his organization. They put these events together. It was probably like one of the nicest events that I've ever been to, like really well put together, and the performances and the different talent that was there. And I met a singing group, Allure. I don't know what they sung. I couldn't remember, but but they were the featured performers there. But also, I did get some citations from three different state senators in New York. So it was about 500 people there. They had like three different rooms full of different types of, performances and fashion. So it was just like they had a lot going on that night. So it was just amazing experience. I stayed the whole time. I rarely stayed at 2 o'clock in the morning anywhere. So, but I just was like, it was just a good time, just being there. So met a lot of great people.
Let me ask you a question, brother. Why did they give you that award?
Well, it was just a combination of different things working globally. But it's international work, that they've sort of evaluated me based upon the local work I do for.
Okay, let me stop. Right. Let me stop you right there, bro. I did that on kind of purpose, because I was stating that, and I know it's difficult for us to tell our own story sometimes, but I did that because I believe you received those awards because the work that you said that you've done over the years. It just wasn't a one-time thing. You had been doing so many things. Like, so I've been knowing you for like 25, 30 years myself. And ever since I met you, you've been going here, there. You support organizations. You have been hosting. You have been teaching. You've been students here and there. So, you put in the work, and you're about us, about uplifting us as a people. And see, this is the whole point I was trying to make. See, it's difficult for us to tell our story. And see, he just said some of the things that he did. He said it very briefly, but it was a whole lot of reasons why that brother received those awards and the citations. And that's the same thing with us. You know, again, like I said, I never really knew my father that well. But it would have been nice if I knew, you know, what school he went to, why he went there, what was going on, what his intentions was while he was in school in the military, and some of the things that, you know, he had to fight through or some of the things that. But I do know one thing about him, and that was not good, you know, that he was a very educated man, but the type of work that he got, he had military background, but they had him cleaning out toilets and calling them everything with the child of God. Mm. So, you know, so those are type things that, you know, that we witnessed. But, you know, again, in spite of all the things that he had to face, but I do know one thing. It was a whole host of us. It was, you know, not all at one time, of course, but, you know, at that time when I was coming up, it was probably six or seven of them. I'm talking about siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up being really nine of us. And can you imagine this daytime, you know, you had to get up to go to this type of job who treated you like that, but yet you had all of these babies at home that you know you had to feed, so you had to be sometimes humble and submissive just, you know, just so that you could feed your children.
Mm.
And I can imagine the load that was on his mind and his heart, especially when you had that type of education and you thought you were going to conquer the world, and the world turned on you. But today, we still face some of the same things. But today, we can change that narrative because, see, we can depend on ourselves. My brother and I were talking earlier, and I don't see him on here yet, but and also Dr. Leroy McKenzie, he has a podcast. And they were talking about the Super Bowl yesterday. And they were talking about the halftime show. What's his name? Usher. And Alicia Keys and Ludacris and several other entertainers, you know, was highlighting. And they were saying that they did such a great job, you know, it was a great performance, as they put it. And yes, they got the highlights, even in the Super Bowl, the quarterbacks, the receivers, they got a lot of the accolades. They were the one on stage getting all the perks. But it took a team effort. My brother and I were talking about earlier today, what about the guys who had to run out there and put that stage up in no time and take it down, you know, so the game could continue on? What about all of those dancers that, you know, who had to correlate all of those different things? And see, you know, it does take the village, you know, to put on these things, and a lot of people get, you know, a few of us get accolades for them. But collectively, and I keep saying this because this is about the National Black Unity News, and this is exactly what we do. We have a host of players who are doing a host of different things. And like High Key, he's here, there, and everywhere. But, you know, High Key had to go through a lot of obstacles himself, just like the rest of us. And before I go any further, you know, there's a few people I haven't talked to in person in a while. Brother Ross Wolfie, how are you, sir? Can you unmute yourself?
Oh, fine. Thank you. Yes, sir. Very hot and fiery here. Lots of sun. Very hot. So,
right.
Yeah, I know where you all are at. It's very cold, but that's the same hurt.
Yeah, well, that's the climate of the world. And things are changing. Pretty soon it's going to be hot here. Y'all going to be cold there. Keep going the way it's going. But in any case, I want you to unmute yourself for a minute, sir. Can you talk?
Yes, I can talk a little bit.
Yeah, brother Whitney, you in Panama, right?
Yes, I'm in Panama.
Were you born there or you moved there sometime?
No, I'm from Jamaica.
Okay. And let me ask you something. In Jamaica as well as Panama, you know, here in the United States, we are what we call black melanated people, black people, put it that way. We have been through a lot of obstacles and through racism, discrimination, and those type of things. What was it like in your country when you was coming up? Did y'all have to face some of them same things?
Well, I never know white people.
Okay, that's good.
He slide off everything black, my people. So, and what I think was more like a bully within our people, like the bigger boys, them would maybe want to, you know, bad you up, and you know, you want to take it or you fight it or you leave it. So I take the choice of leaving them there. So that's really how I start moving. I had a car toy I made when I came from school driving it, and one of the big boys in the community stepped on it. And then from then I said to myself, I have to leave this place. I didn't know it was an important country until when I started travel out of my country. So yeah. So it was like different. It was not a color thing for me. It was like a big or a bad or a kind of thing like that, you see?
What about in Panama? How are things there?
Panama. I don't know how to explain that, but front to front, I'm not facing really white and black discrimination. I think people is more like money or nothing. You pay me and you work for anybody work for you, but if you can't do it, does nothing happen. I think that's more like.
Okay. Yeah. But in any case, our brother Ross Bukki, he's an editor in the paper, and he's residing right now in Panama. And I met him through brother Haki as well as brother Cliff, who they have hosted some events there. Talking about the consciousness of us, black melanated people. So this brother is a soldier, and he's still fighting for reparations and so many other different fronts that he's fighting on. And but in any case, I'm going to go to a historian on here. Brother Dr. Charles Pender, can you unmute yourself, sir? Dr. Charles Pender. Okay. To him. But in any case, you know, the National Black Unity News, you know, like I said, we like to bring up problems sometimes, you know, situation what happened yesterday. But I want to switch the, you know, the note now and talk about something positive. Some of the things that we're doing today for ourselves. Now, I know yesterday is gone. We still have reflections from yesterday. We still feel the bruise and the pain from what happened hundreds of years ago, but that's yesterday. Now, starting off with today, the changes that can be made today. Now, I can live in the past. I can be angry. I can be, you know, I can do a lot of different things, but I personally chose, or I was even chosen to make a difference, break those chains of bondage, break those chains of negative thinking, and break those chains of depending on somebody else. You know, it's time for us to do for self. God gave each and everybody on this earth power. If you like my sister on here, Cheryl Ricks, she said your gifts will make room for you. If we look into those gifts, they will make room for you. And brother Walter Murphy.
Yes, sir.
I know you're going through a little something right now, but you know I'm gonna pick on everybody tonight here.
What I'm going through, everybody should kind of go through, and that's called the idea of enjoying the moment. Okay, I've had, as you know, a whole host of what you call setbacks, fallbacks, or whatever you want to call it. But most of them is not on my personal thing; it's the thing that surrounds me. I guess when we talk about one of the things that's going on in my personal life is my lovely wife, and that's one of the things that is bothering many of you guys that's on this call. I just want you guys to know that what Kathleen has gone through over the last 2 months, a really, really devastating illness, and they repaired the problem, and she is now recovering. In fact, we're looking to see her tomorrow afternoon at 7:30 on our Tuesday night call. So y'all come on down, because she's kind of sort of back, okay? And we would like to have a full house tomorrow. But seriously, David, when it comes down to trials and tribulations and all that kind of stuff, yeah, you know, you grew up in Baltimore or any other major city, you're going to have a problem. You grew up not having money, you're going to have a problem. You grew up uneducated, you're going to have some issues. Ignorance is one of the biggest things that we have, and that's mostly because we just don't know. Yeah, ignorance is a bad terminology and a bad word. You're ignorant. Yeah, you are. And when they tell you that, you want to get mad and want to fight. But at the end of the day, you know, it's because you do not know something. And I will tell you that most of us, as our historian going to come on, Dr. Charles Pender, he's going to tell you that our history is history. What's more important is what you're doing right now, this day, this moment. And that Dave was talking about earlier, what you going to do tomorrow? How are you going to fix some of the things that happened yesterday so there won't be the same condition or the same outcome tomorrow? And so it is important that we all get our heads wrapped around not all of what happened in the past. Yeah, you know that. Use that as fuel. Use that as a means of understanding. But right now, right now, this moment, guaranteed, your moments, what you and the decisions that you make today will make the difference for you tomorrow. I hope I'm on the right track, David. Talk to me.
Yes, sir. You're on the right track. Yes, sir. You're moving right now. Dr. Pender.
Yes, sir.
I'm doing great. I don't know about the rest of them, but I'm doing fantastic because I'm breathing.
I'm speaking to some of the best people in the world on this broadcast. Yesterday, I was at a Black History meeting, and some things are brought out that completed investigative work we've been doing. Is the why that we have to accept what someone else say about you, but look at the person who's saying this or making a description about you. First of all, there's no such thing as white folks. Everybody on this broadcast, everybody that you see have African DNA. Now, we have to go back and think, how in the world did they get the color they are? Well, what happened was climate. They went into the European continent. That was Shem's people that came out of, remember in the Bible, that was Shem, Ham, and Japheth? Well, Shem's people went into the European climate, and over thousands of years, they stayed in caves, and the hair became longer. The nose became longer because that way, when the cold air hit them, it had to have a longer channel to go up in order to heat the cold air. And then inbreeding happened. That's how they got blue eyes and blonde hair. And then from there, they had these chins, and a lot of mutation happened. And then there was a guy in the 1700s. Now, this is history. You guys check it out on your YouTube. It's a guy by the name of Frederick Blumenbach. He was he was a mutated fool. It's because he began to differentiate people, and he went to the graveyard, got a skull, and he says everybody should be like the skull. It's white and it's perfect. And so from there, racism started. The word race was in place before that, but it was never referring to people. In the Bible, you find a race in several different places, but you never find it referring to people. So when they got this thing, they say, well, we can manipulate this thing because we're Europeans. We're going to go down, and at that time, remember the Crusades? Well, the Crusades was about one thing, going into Africa, taking everything they could, and bringing it back to England and places like that. When they found all these treasures in the places of the continent of Africa, they brought it back to the European continent, and they began to set up, say, hey, listen, you know, we can make a living out of this thing. And so they said, well, we're too weak to do all these things, so we got to find somebody to do it. And so that word N-E-G-R-O came out. What in the world is a Negro? A Negro don't have a country. So the actual Negro would be the Anglo-Saxon because he don't have a country. He was, if you look in the scripture in the book of Genesis, Bereshit, the 10th chapter and the 3rd verse, Japheth's child had a child and his name was Ashkenazi. You ever heard of an Ashkenazi Jew? Well, that's what you got now. They're not Semitic, but you find the Semitic Jews, you find them all down in Africa, still in tribes. But, and I'm not saying that you cannot hate them, believe it or not, man, you cannot hate them because they are mutated, their mind, their heart, their soul, everything about them is about money. That's their God right there. So what happened when they call you these bad names, actually they're calling themselves names because they don't know who they are. So I had a so-called white female some months ago. I thought the girl was going to kill herself. She said she was white in the grocery store. And I said, you're not white. You're a bleached-up Negro. I'm white. I said, you can't be white. Give me an ounce of your blood.
and prove to me that you're white. You're a bleached out Negro. The girl just went crazy. She ran outside. I thought she was going to run into the cars. But when they call you a nigger or something like that, the only thing you have to do is reply, well, what about your history? Where did you come from? Once you know their history and know who you are, God put us all here for one reason, and that is to glorify him. And beyond that, it does not matter. So I could have a Klansman to come to me and call me all kind of names, and I could call him the same names, and he'd be afraid of me. In fact, we have a contract with the Klan to do their pest control. Hello, I'm a bad man because I fear God. So what happened when society beat up on us like this, take it as, you know, they just don't know it. It's just like kids. They're just, when we went to school, remember they did these things called, what do they call them? The prank? Remember the pranks they used to pull in school? Well, they got slapped on the hand. Our pranks get us 10, 15, 20 years. And so the problem is we've envied the oppressor and chose to be like him. Proverbs 3:31. But anyhow, other than that, I just gave you just a brief bit of history, but it's a whole, black history cannot be covered in 1 month. And in our papers, in the upcoming Virginia papers, every month we're going to have something in there to catapult our people from one point to another point to do something positive. This newspaper, the National Black Unity News, have liberated more people on this planet than most churches have. Most churches are there because give me. The newspaper gives. Thank you very much for the time.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. And like Dr. Pender say, you know, it's not what we done yesterday, but what we doing today as well as tomorrow. And, yes, he is the publisher of the Virginia Black Unity News, where they're going to take good news and spread it all over the state of Virginia. And those of us who are on Facebook Live and on Blog Talk Radio, I'm let you know now, we are going to expand to every state in the United States. And if you know someone, even if you have a heart to give, to share, to uplift our people, then we may want to talk to you, because this is a powerful movement that not David Murphy, but God has put together. See, you know, the time has come for us to take our rightful place. I was watching a video earlier today about the history of racism and why people fear us so much. And they had a lot of reasons. They were saying our physical presence, our strong genes, and, you know, how we excel at so many things. And so most of the things that this racism coming is pretty much, like you say, out of fear. And a lot of people, you know, that's why it began, is they make up all of these false stories and they try to dominate to prove that, you know, they superior, you know, all kinds of stuff is, you know, is happening because, you know, the way man's mind work, you know. But if man had an open mind and open heart, you know, that he, of course, you know, it don't make sense that, you know, one man's better than the other. But that's the way it is this day and time. But in reality, the time that we're in now, like I say, we definitely had to know where we've been to know where we're going. But this day and time, you know, I'm going to ask some questions. Anybody can jump in. Like I say, yesterday is gone, but how do we improve ourselves for tomorrow? Like I say, here in the United States, I'm seeing things going somewhat in a different slant, something that we thought was kind of docile for a moment, now it's raising its ugly head. We see more division in this country, you know, more, you know, it's open more than I ever seen in my lifetime. I see what they call politics is so polarized now, and I never seen that before, you know, that many people, you know, folks being intelligent leaders voting down straight down party lines. Like I always say, and I know it's a bad analogy, but it kind of fits. Our Congress and you know, our government is ran just like the Crips and the blood in and blood out. You know, they, you know, if you don't go along with us, then, you know, you either get down or you lay down. And I don't care what's going on in your city or in your town. If you don't go our way, then we're going to ostracize you. And this is government. Now, the government playing this kind of role, you know, things, you know, and Dr. Pender said, you know, it's a lot of greed and hate, all of this stuff going around. So it's a lot of things that, you know, has to be overcome. But that's on a collective basis. But individually, you know, one thing I do know, but that you can do, you can beat a man, you can imprison a man, you can take away the compass of his life. But one thing, if you're strong enough, they cannot take your mind. You know, you can be free in your mental state, you know, under all type of oppressions and everything like that. But the mind is a powerful, powerful thing. And with that being said, I see my old brother is back on here again. I haven't talked to him in a while. Brother Cliff, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Good evening, sir. Good evening, everyone.
Yes, sir. How have you been?
Good evening.
Oh, hanging in there. Hanging in there, trying to just trying to do whatever I can do to try to keep things moving forward as the rest of us are doing.
Speaking about moving forward, what you got going on with the coalition?
Okay.
What's going on with the coalition?
Well, there are a few things. The first thing is listening to the conversation up to this point. I know a lot of times when we get together, we talk about what our historic and contemporary oppressors have done, are doing to us, and we talk about our analysis of why they do these things and why they used to do them, why they do them now, why they will continue to do them. I'm reminded of a line that I saw in a television show actually not too long ago, and perhaps it encapsulates a little bit better what the attitude that I'm starting to develop a little bit more is. And the line was, don't fight back, fight forward. And the question then comes, well, how do we fight forward? Because I go to conferences, and the conferences are all the time, as I've often referred to, talking about the whereas. Here is what has happened to us. Here is what the history tells us, and here is what they're doing to us now. And they very rarely get to the now, therefore. Now, therefore, this is what we're going to do. Here is how we are going to fight forward. There are a number of ways that I'm starting to see that we can fight forward. We can fight forward in terms of how we support each other in times of trouble. We can fight forward in terms of how we support each other in times of sorrow, in times of grief. We can fight forward in terms of how we let the powers that be know we are watching them and are monitoring the moves that they make. We can fight forward in terms of how we build either movements or institutions for the future. And I have brief examples of, I think, each of those. I want to share with you real quick. How we support each other in times of trouble. Well, this Friday, whatever your particular opinions are of Marilyn Mosby, I know that there's going to be a hearing at the Greenbelt Courthouse on Friday at, I think, 10 o'clock or 10:30 a.m. And I'll have to double check the information. I know Bill Gooden has posted a lot of information on Facebook about this. I'm sure that other people who are on this call have some information they can share about it, and I'm going to send out an email to people in the Maryland Pan-African Cooperative Coalition about this particular hearing that's going on Friday. And I think there's going to be a bus that's going to leave from New Shiloh Baptist Church on Monroe Street Friday morning at like 9 or 9:15 or so. So that's going to be happening on Friday, for those who want to go to Greenbelt, who want to attend the session, whether you're going there to support Marilyn Mosby or whether you're just going there to let the powers that be know that if you're going to impose some kind of a draconian measure, some kind of excessive punishment, we are watching, we see what you are doing. Because there are a number of questions, not only in terms of whether or not you agree with what Ms. Mosby has done while she was state's attorney for Baltimore City, or whether you think that this entire proceeding is just a politically motivated witch hunt, then at least there's the opportunity for you to appear there, in quote, watch what is going on, and even discuss your pros and your cons with the other people who are there. So that's one thing, how we support each other in times of trouble. How we support each other in times of grief? Well, I understand that a couple of weeks ago, one of the members of our community, Mama Ujima Masani, came home and found her daughter passed away in their home. And she has, as I understand, has been going through the expected emotional upheavals and turmoil that have come from anytime a parent loses a child. That's considered by many to be one of the most tragic things that can happen to you. So on Saturday, I think at somewhere between 10:30 and 11, there's going to be a memorial service for her daughter. And it's going to be, and I'm looking at the email right now, it's going to be at the St. Martin Church. I guess it's the St. Martin Church of Christ on Madison Avenue. And if anyone has more specific information about this, then do feel free to let us all know about it. But I understand that's on 2118 West Madison Avenue in Baltimore. And I believe the memorial service starts at 12, but they want everyone to be seated by 11:45. And another one of the requests that she has made is that if you have something, I think the color is white, as it often is with a lot of Pan-African spiritual gatherings. They, you know, if you have white, then you come in your white. If you have some other color, you come in that. You come in black only if that is the uniform of your Pan-African organization, as I understand from a message that Mama Ujima herself had left. But at any rate, there is the opportunity Saturday for the community to come out, support Mama Ujima in her time of grief, and to basically let her know that we are here for her. And to me, these are things that a unified community, quite frankly, does for its members when their members are going through times of trouble or times of pain or grief. How we watch things that are going on, well, the Mosby hearing on the 16th, Friday, is one. There is another thing that is going on, I believe, the 20th of February. That is going to be a hearing at the Maryland General Assembly. And I just got this information from Sister Tomiko. There is a meeting of what is, I believe, going to be called the Maryland Reparations Commission. There's going to be apparently this hearing will be to establish or set in motion the establishment of the Maryland Reparations Commission. And it is related to something called the Maryland Repair Act. And several Maryland delegates have sponsored this. It'll be on February 20th at 1 o'clock p.m. And if I understand correctly, this will be in Annapolis. I'll try to get more information on that and send that out to people, at least who are on the mailing list that I have through the Cooperative Coalition. And then the fourth thing is how we build for the future. And that brings me to the general focus of the Maryland Pan-African Cooperative Coalition. We are scheduled to have our next coalition meeting coming up on Wednesday, February 21st. So that'll be 1 week from Wednesday, February 21st at 7 o'clock p.m. And I will be sending out a notice about the upcoming meeting of the Maryland Pan-African Cooperative Coalition to yourself, Baba David, and to a number of other people, some of whom are on this call and many of whom are not on this call, that we will be having that next meeting of the Maryland Pan-African Cooperative Coalition on Wednesday, February 21st. Among the things that we hope to discuss at that meeting will be setting up, organizing the first of our 2024 Pan-African Grassroots Community Town Hall meetings. And at the moment, it looks like that meeting will probably be held at the Temple of New African Thought on Hartford Road. I have talked to Baba Dennis Winkler at Temple of New African Thought about the prospect of holding some town hall meetings there. He is in agreement with that. And so as a result, we have now established an
East Baltimore location where we can do town halls, Temple of New African Thought, and a West Baltimore location, and that's Arch Social Club. So our plan right now is going to be to have quarterly Pan-African community town hall meetings. And right now we'll probably alternate between Temple of New African Thought and Arch Social Club. But right now it looks like the first one will be at Temple of New African Thought. We will try to get as many of our Pan-African organizations to come out as possible and to get the community, especially in that part of the city, to come out to these meetings, not only so that we can let people know what our ongoing organizing effort is, not only so that certain people who have important information for the community, financial literacy, advice, political issues that are important to pay attention to, and et cetera, that information can be presented, but also so that the community can tell us what is happening, what is going on, where they are, and what issues are important to them, that being the development, or in this case, the updating of the Maryland Pan-African agenda. So a lot of those things will be going on, I guess, in the next couple of weeks or so. And we will look forward to letting people know what we're doing moving on from there. But those are the things that I have on the calendar in the next week and a half that hopefully we'll be able to let people know about and to generate enough interest so that people can come out in as large numbers as possible, because we really need to get the people to come out and to organize with the people's knowledge, with the people's support, because if we do it without the support, then we're not doing anything.
That's right. Okay, I agree with you. Thank you, Brother Cliff. I appreciate that. And like I said, we're not going to hold you long. I can barely hold and keep my voice up. But I want to go make a little quick round robin, because, like I say, this is our history and know where we stand and where we're going. So I'm just going to go to everybody on here just a few minutes, let people know who you are and what you're doing and what you have planned for. When I say plan, you know, what can we do as a people to better ourselves today as well as tomorrow? And I'm going to start with you, Sister Cheryl Ricks. Can you unmute yourself, please? Sister Cheryl Ricks. Okay, moving right along. Don't see it come back on.
I'm back. Okay. There's so many people on my phone, I couldn't find me.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes.
Okay.
I was just asking, you know, what you're doing today and how can we better ourselves tomorrow?
Well, the way I'm bettering myself today is making sure that the people that God has assigned to my life get from me the thing I'm created to give them. And that means the people that I meet along the way, whether it's somebody that I talk to on the phone, a wrong number, somebody I may meet in a store, somebody I might meet, you know, going throughout my day, you know, just having a conversation and seeing what I have that could add value to them or help them on their life journey. So I do that on a regular basis, just, you know, meeting new people, starting conversations, finding out, you know, ways that I can add value, ways that I can make a difference, ways that I can help, ways that I can share what I've learned on my life journeys to help somebody on their life journey. And recently, I've had a burning desire to help people in the community that are helping other people. You know, that's their passion. That's the population that they have to serve. That's the people that they can relate to because they've been where these people are. And so I'm kind of like in a place where I can encourage other people to support people who are making a difference in the community with the segment of the population that I might not be ministering to. And one of those people is a young lady I met, and she doesn't have a nonprofit, but what she does is she goes to like Walmart and other stores, and when they mark things down, she purchases them at very low prices. And then she sells them at her garage sale, you know, at her in her neighborhood, or even she might rent a table at a place where they sell various things. And the proceeds of those things she sells, she goes, her family and some friends, they cook the food up, they go shopping for things that the homeless community could use. You know, she makes meals, she makes, you know, she gives them a toiletry, she gives them, what do you call it, the, you know, like when it was wintertime, scarves, hats, gloves, blankets. And so I said, you know, there's a lot of people that are making a difference in various communities, whether they have a nonprofit 501c3 status or not, they're making a difference. I believe in tithing. I believe in giving back. I believe in people who help other people, whether it's to encourage them or support them in some way. And I say, in addition to what I'm already given as tithes and offerings, I could commit to supporting this sister and her family who's going out and serving people who are, you know, displaced because they don't have a home or they don't have the resources to have their own places. And so I want to encourage other people, you know, we spend so much money in fast food, things that don't have value, doing things that really don't make a difference. If we can commit to giving $20 to a cause that is making a difference in the communities we're in. So I really want to encourage people, maybe even get with, maybe find at least 10 people to ask them if they could donate any amount they want, maybe $10, maybe $20, whatever it can. If I can get 10 people to commit to donating $10, $20, whatever they want, just 10 people to this young lady's cause and other community people that are making a difference in the community. If I can get 10 people to support this one, and then find 10 more people to support this cause or help this person serve that segment of the population. I feel like with my network and the amount of people I know, and a lot of the people in my life are givers already and they do good things. So I'm kind of like feeling like I can make a difference because I have a lot of people in my network and they do good things already. So I want to get, you know, maybe maybe 3 or 4 groups of 10 people where I can ask them to commit, give them the lady's Cash App, or, you know, there may be another lady, another organization, whether they are a 501c3 or not. You know, they're doing good things in the community. Can I just get 10 people that I know to commit to making a donation? You know, here's their Cash App, here's their website, just put it on there. And then I find like I can make a greater difference if I help other people who are making a difference make a difference. And if we all could do that, you know, some of us have a bigger network, some of us have a smaller network, but if maybe not 10 people, maybe not 30 people, but maybe 5 people, can I get 5 people to commit to any of us? If we can get 5 people to commit to giving $10, $15, $20 every month to this particular cause. And I think we can make a greater impact as a people. We can make a greater impact in our communities where we live and people that are called to do certain things that we're not called to do. But we can partner with them, and then we can make a bigger difference. Like I said before, there's a lot of things we want the government to do, or we want the state to do, or we want somebody else to do. And I heard somebody say it like this: many hands make the work light. So if I give $20 or $10 and you give $5 or $10, if we do it together instead of trying to meet one person, hey, let's just one person put the bill for this cause or to help this particular organization do what they're doing. So right now, that's what I'm looking to do. I'm looking to, you know, look at my network and find at least 3 groups of 10 people that can commit to helping at least 3 organizations make a greater impact in the community. So that's what I'm working on.
All right. It's a good cause, too. All right. I hope things work out for you, you know, because like I say, us helping us is a key to a lot of our issues. All right, Sister Kim, or is it Kim or Cynthia, or both?
Exactly. Cynthia right now, Kim is not available at the moment. But first of all, I want to say good evening to everybody, and I'm always grateful for this program. Brother Cliff, I definitely agree with what you're saying and what Sister Rix is saying, to do something. Every day when I go into the schools, I do a little teaching of Black history, if no more than saying Jambo. So when they greet me, they always greet me in Pan-African language by saying hello. And recently I added on, Friday, I added on Nia, one of the children in the class, to understand that we need to be on purpose. So giving them the language, a different language, an African language. And also just interacting with them in a positive way is what I've been working to do. I'll be starting to teach crochet in the morning to a few of the girls, or girls or boys, that are there for a daycare, just a little extra time that I have in the morning. So basically, I'm just going to do whatever little thing or big thing that I can do in my everyday interaction. And I'm usually interacting with children, but also the teachers now, the children are welcoming them or saying good morning to them or saying hello to them by saying Jambo. So it's things like that. I did have an exciting weekend a couple weekends ago. Went over to Michigan with Sister Kim Poole, my sister and I. We were invited to go there for the Shiros. And that gave me an opportunity to see, you know, like Cheryl was saying, is there an organization that I can participate with and that I can help in some way? So I'm kind of seeing what that's going to be like. But that was exciting. We went to Motown. But the main thing that was good about it is that we got a chance to see the work that Sister Kim Poole is doing and what the Shiros are doing. So I'm going to be doing the same type of things that like Brother Cliff said and Sister Cheryl said, being supportive and encouraging other people. So whatever it's taken, I've been taking my daughter to whatever we can go to, and you all know she's in a wheelchair, getting her out and about to participate, and she does different things. She's into holistic health, holistic health care. And my sister Kim's been going with me, and my cousin Stacy. So in other words, not just me anymore. Now it's four or five of us, and looking to invite more of us and take my nephews who are now 15 and 12, because we're planning on going to the Great Blacks and Wax, and getting more people to meet me at the Great Blacks and Wax and going on tour together. Because I'm living in East Baltimore now, y'all, so that's closer to me now, too. So it's just those little things. While we were away in Michigan with Kim Poole, we ate in all African restaurants. And I ate food that I had never had before. So it's also supporting the restaurants as we're going, the places that we're going, and taking people who, like myself, had never eaten Ethiopian food to do that, but we're spending our money amongst our people. So making that more real. So I want to do more of that. Wish I could go Friday. I'm already scheduled Friday to be at work, but I'm going to get the word out for Brother Cliff concerning Sister Mosby to see if we can get somebody else on that bus. So thank you.
I need to talk to you, but I'll call you after the meeting to make the arrangements before you can get them things that we're supposed to get to you.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay.
Okay. All right, Dr. Ortiz, would you like to share what you're doing today and how we can better ourselves tomorrow? Dr. Ortiz. Okay, hopefully she'll come back home. And that is, she just came on. You must have talked up, Sister Cynthia. I see Kim Poole just came on. Sister Kim Poole, how are you? Can you hear me? Okay. I see a sign there. Brother Haki?
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. What you doing today and how we can better ourselves tomorrow, sir?
Pretty much... I just want to encourage everybody, if you can, there's a Bob Marley film coming out, and Mr. Bob Wallace, Brother Bill, Mike, they will be showing it this Wednesday at 1 o'clock at, I believe they're doing it at the Senator again. So for those that are able to come out, it's a film on Bob Marley. So just encourage everybody to come check that out. And also the UNIA, I thought Brother Cliff would was aware of that, but I posted in the group, folks, I posted the thing with the bus, the date, I'm sorry, the flyer for the bus, but also the UNIA division, Baltimore division, will have an event on February 24th at Langston Hughes. It's 6 to 11 p.m. Myself and a few others will get some awards there. So just want to encourage everybody to come out. That's the UNIA Baltimore chapter founded by Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. So thank you. Yes, I like the history as well. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, good. To the chair, Akim. Brother David.
Yes, sir.
That's wonderful to hear that they're doing something there, Marcus Garvey, because 1924, right, and the 13th of February, the other black leader was calling Marcus Garvey big head, big belly, short and fat, and the other person was black like Marcus Garvey and talking about WD, the boy. Yeah. So that day, this day is supposed to be a day our colored people, black people really work together and forgiving each other, joining with each other, start trading, start doing the business together. It's really significant, the 13th of February, which is tomorrow, when that's now 100 years since those two black leaders was going against each other stupidly. One come from the grassroots and one getting benefit from the white society in a sort of way. So now it's a very important time we're in, 100 years, and hearing that something is happening for Marcus Garvey, 24th of February, for me, it's really, really important. But the sense of it is for unification, that it is, and forgiveness for each other, you know, within the movement. It's very, very important to notice. Have a note on this. Thank you so much for this program. It's a very well, good put together program.
Yes, sir. And I'm glad you say that, because that's one of the main things how we can overcome some of the things of yesterday. Sometimes it starts with us and our own families, our own friends. You know, a lot of us are strayed, you know, unforgiving for what happened yesterday. You know, we have to learn to let some of them things go so that we can move forward. And speaking of Marcus Garvey, yes, I stand on his shoulders, because, you know, the thing that he did yesterday was so amazing. How he unified so many people. I mean, it just, you know, at least he left a mark for us, you know, a ceiling that we haven't yet to reach again, but all things are possible, because it had been done, it can be done again. And, let me see who else I got. Kim, are you on? Dr. Ortiz? Kim. Ms. Kim Poole.
Yes, Mr. David, I'm here.
Amen. How are you?
All is well. Another day to get better.
Well, this is another young lady who's here, there, and everywhere. And I really mean that too. She, I don't know how they do it, but they do it. And thank God for it. Sister Kim, I know you're doing a lot of things. You have a lot of things on your plate. So what suggestion would you give to us as a people, the things that we can do today so we can have a better tomorrow?
So when I think about this Black History Month, it's an opportunity for us to practice Sankofa. In order to go forward, we have to look back. But I think that in this community, you know, we're not preaching to the choir, but I think we understand the relevance of our history. And so our goal, because I'm talking to us, this is the vanguard. This is the what they call talented 10th. That's how I regard Mr. David Murphy and, you know, Mama Barbara Watiz and Mama Jahi. You have done the work. You understand the importance of that history. So I encourage you all to continue to look forward and to find intergenerational dialogue and connections that you're using in real time. You need people that are two generations below you at minimum to be working in your vision. And if they're working in yours, fine. If not, work in theirs. I want to celebrate Mama Jahi. I don't know if she's on the call, or, but I know she came with me to Detroit. And, you know, I've been working with the National Black Unity newspaper, and so has she since the very beginning. And that's okay, because I'm patient. And if not this year, then the next year. And if not next year, then a year after that. And eventually she said, Kim, you know what? Yes. This time I'm coming. 2024 is the year of yes. And she came, and she brought her sister. And it's only the beginning. And I'm just glad that I see a abundant black future, not just our history, talking about what we did and what we used to do, but what we plan to do moving forward. And I celebrate my elders that still have the energy and the capacity to say yes. And so if you want to know what we need to do as a people, we need to say yes to each other more often. When that brother calls you and asks you to feature on the show, say yes. When they say, can I get $10 for the initiative, say yes, find it. When they say, I'm having an event, will you show up? Yes. Can you share the flyer? Say yes. We don't say yes to each other enough. And so don't just say it, but also do it in your behavior. So shout out to Mama Jahi for being a part of my abundant black future, even as an elder. I look forward to finding other mamas that want to do that, and I'll show up every time that I can, Baba David Murphy. As long as you ride this thing, we're going to ride it till the wheels fall off with the National Black Unity News.
Yes.
Thanks for the invitation. If y'all hang out with Sister Poole, make sure you have your vitamins and some roller skates.
She moved right along, doesn't she? Yes. All right.
Yes.
Okay, Dr. Ortiz. All right, Brother Satari Jahi. What can we do? What can we do today so we can have a better tomorrow, sir?
Well, first thing we can do today is make sure that we know our history, and try to make sure that we live it. Because I was reading a quote from Herb Belafonte earlier today when he said that Dr. King realized that he was integrating people into a burning house. And, you know, that's important to understand that Dr. King had doubts about America's morality in terms of where it was going as a country. And it's so important that we have a clear understanding of this country, and that it's an immoral country. It's bankrupt. And there's really nothing else really to say about that, except that we live in a bankrupt country, and that it's important for us to take a stand every day. Every day is a fight for our life, and every day we need to take a stand, because if we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. And so it just reminded me again of the work I did in the NAACP when I was in New Orleans. And I was president of the college chapter there, and did a lot of work at the University of New Orleans College chapter. One of the highlights of my experience there, as I mentioned Saturday on my other show, we had this crazy dialogue with one of the Trump supporters, that I had the privilege of being part of the student body. They ran David Duke off the campus. And people was like, y'all stood up to the Klan. So what are they? They're human beings just like us. They pull up their pants the same way I pull up my pants. And that it's important, again, when you see injustice, stand up for it and speak out against it so that your voice can be heard. And not only your voice can be heard, but your actions can be shown and your actions can be heard. So that's what I would say, you know, and it's important. I'm not in Brown right now, but it's important that people get out and they support Sister Marilyn Mosley. She's being persecuted because when Freddie Gray was murdered.
This meeting's host has enabled Zoom's AI companion technology.
And when Freddie Gray was murdered, she was the one that stood up and had the cops prosecuted for murder. And that's important. She took a stance, and that's why she's being persecuted. So I would encourage people to make sure that if you're there, if you can get on that bus and go. Stand up for the unspoken, because you never know when your day is going to come. And believe me, your day will come. You live in this country, your day will come, and you will want somebody to stand up and speak for you. And that's all I really have to say about where we're at and where we're going, David.
I appreciate that, sir. And before we shut this thing down, we have another guest who just joined us. I know he probably didn't, you know, hear the whole conversation. Brother James Brady, how are you, sir?
Let's see here. I'm doing well. Right. Can you hear me okay?
Now, I can't see you, but I can hear you.
Yeah, I'm out in the field here. But yeah, what I did pick up was a little conversation about what's going on there in Baltimore with the Freddie Gray case. And I certainly support that, the sister that has been, I don't know, I'm just so sick of all of this stuff, man, that's going on in this country around civil rights and, you know, protecting one another and looking out for our fellow man. It's a strange place to be in. But, yeah, we definitely need to show up and support her. She's done quite a bit for, I believe, for Baltimore in general, as, you know, as well as Kwame and QZ and some of the other, your governor. Baltimore, to me, man, all of a sudden, it's just floated right to the top in terms of civil rights. So much power to all of you that are in the fight, in the battle, continue to strive on.
Well, let me say this, you know, what you just said, you know, and somebody else said this earlier, any one of us can be persecuted just by what we have already done, past. And I'm quite sure a lot of us, I'm almost positive, just about everybody on this call, we have done, been doing a great deal of work, put in a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And they weren't doing these things just for themselves. They were doing it for us as a people. But somehow, some way, they didn't get the support of the people that they was trying to help. And we all know how that feels. You know, you breaking your neck, you putting in your finances, you doing all of these great and wonderful things to uplift us, and then the people that you actually trying to help do not support you. And see, that's some of the narratives that we have to change. That's why I'm so glad what Sister Kim said. We have to start saying yes. Yes, we have to start showing up. Not only show up, but put up as well. And that will make a difference. Because you know how much it would have made a difference when you were doing, when you continue to do the things you do and the lack of support. So we have to change that narrative. Like I said, we all we got. And if we don't do it for ourselves, ain't nobody else going to do it for us. And so it is this year, like Kim said, the time for us to start saying yes. We have to start doing. We got to stop all the talking about it. And I ain't talking to you guys on it because y'all are the doers. That was already, you know, put forth. But from this point forward, we can go a little step further. See, that's when you break the glass ceiling, when you take that extra step. When you reach a little higher, when you reach out to your fellow man and let them know that they're not walking by themselves, that you're walking with them. It's a powerful thing, is you know, that somebody has your back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a powerful, even more powerful feeling knowing that you're not standing by yourself. And so with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank each and every one of you for being on this call tonight. As you can hear, my voice is not up to par, and I thank you all for stepping up as well as stepping in as you always do. You've been, each and every one of you, been, you know, instrumental in my life because of the work you have done, the work we have done together, and the work we're going to do tomorrow. We planted some hell of a seeds all over this world, and they will continue to grow and prosper if we stand firm, stand still, and stand for each other. But don't give up, don't give in. You know, we just beginning, and our future generations are counting on us. And that's what Kim said before. We have to reach forward. We have to reach backward. We have to go down two or three generations and grab our young people. And as they reaching up, we are reaching down. So, you know, when we come together, it's a powerful, powerful force. So, again, I thank each and every one of you for the work we do. And we will be back on tomorrow night. And this is a footnote, because your voices are powerful. Media is powerful. I talked to Sister Kathleen Murphy earlier today. And we're going to start, you know, like I say, on Tuesday, you know, we're going to start a lot of people that's involved with the paper. That means you. But you need to give me your name so we can schedule everybody, because your voice, that's why I say we have to. Ladies, just hear me again. We have to start telling our stories, not only to each other, but to everybody, to our people as well. And this is one way. It's one voice, but it's a powerful voice. Because just like tonight, like Sister Kim just said, she reached out to Mama Jahi. She said, they started out with the paper from the beginning, 6 or 7 years ago. They haven't given up. They haven't given in. And just this past week or so, they up there in Detroit doing their thing together. So you know, it's not to the swift, but those who endure. And that's what we've been doing. We've been enduring, but we can do a step better than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can do a lot better than just endure. It's time to stop being on defense, ladies and gentlemen, and start our offense. And that start with us, you know, that man and woman in the mirror. Again, I love each and every one of you, man. Keep doing what you're doing, but let's do a little bit more. We got a little stretch. Remember that story about the gold mine, the diamond mine? If he had dug just a few inches, a few feet deeper.
Yeah. Right where was that?
That was right there, and that's just where we are at. Just a few, I don't care how old, how young, or how many challenges you have in your life. You're just there, right there. Just keep digging, keep reaching. And with God on your side, you know you ain't going to lose. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, bid you all good night. Take care.
All right, Brother David.
Good night, everybody. Thank you for all your sharing. God bless you, too.
All right.
Bless him.
Kim, I need Kim Poole. I mean, Cynthia, I need to talk to you. Can you call me immediately right now?
Okay, we'll do. Okay.
Take care, y'all.
Brother Cliff, bless.
Goodbye.